Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. And when you have it, stand on your feet, please. Out of reverence for God's word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. And it reads, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the church all said together, amen. Good morning. I'm Pastor Robert Kelly. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who has been set free from alcohol and drug abuse.
Good morning, Pastor Kelly.
My mother says, I took my first drink as an 18-month-old toddler. I had picked up and began to consume my daddy's drink as he watched. I don't remember that incident, but as my memories come to me as a little boy, I remember alcohol being prominent in our home. My dad and mom drank. I remember some of the favorite drinks, because I remember the bottles, bourbon, vodka, beer was in our home. My granddad and my uncles drank, and one of my uncles has been a long-term heroin addict. My parents' friends all drank. I remember the loud parties, cursing and arguing, the morning after, the smell of alcohol, empty cans and watery glasses, and since I was a fat little greedy boy, the leftover potato chips and pretzels and peanuts were mine to claim, at least as I had to fight with my brother and sister to get the spoils of the leftovers. And of course, I remember the bottles that were, some were half empty and some were empty from the night before. I'm happy to say this morning that my mother is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and delivered from that lifestyle. Amen. Give the Lord a praise for that. So this is not about kicking my parents. This is all about telling the truth about how I got started in the business of abusing alcohol and drugs. As a teenager, my dad let me drink beer. In a band, I was introduced to smoking, heavy drinking, pot, and taking pills. I did uppers, I did downers, I did acid. I was sexually promiscuous and fathered a set of twins out of wedlock. I destroyed others in abortion. All of this before my 18th birthday. I was killing me softly. I was introduced to Jesus Christ on Easter 1977, and believe you me, he took on a mess. But slowly, through his word, power, and discipline, the Lord restored my life. No more drugs by August of 1979. Alcohol was out of my life by the fall of 1980. Cigarettes, I need you to understand this morning that nicotine is an addictive drug. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Cigarettes were out of my life by miraculous deliverance of the Lord on April 7th, 1985. While being alcohol and drug free, I want to be sure to say, have not made me perfect. I have every hope of it, since if Christ could deliver me from all of that, amen, why not ultimately sin itself? Then I will live out my royal destiny, perfect and free indeed forever. There are other potential kings and priests of God in here today, and there will be those who will be listening by tape who are killing yourselves softly. I want to say to you today, you can be healed. Amen. Amen. Today we want to speak to you on the topic, killing me softly. Killing me softly. Killing me softly. Our objective in this message is to examine alcohol and drug abuse as the pinnacle of self-destructive habits. Killing me softly. Amen. The first thing I want to speak to you on is the destructive working of habitual alcohol and drug abuse. The destructive working of habitual alcohol and drug abuse. Turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And let's look together at the first verse through the seventh. Proverbs 31, 1 through 7. And it reads there, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Now, King Lemuel may not have been a real person. Jewish tradition says that, in fact, that this name Lemuel was Solomon writing with this name in order to hide his identity, but it was surely Solomon. We don't know for sure all of that, but one thing we do know is that his mother's counsel in what we just read in verses 1 through 7, and really something that I don't believe many women know or understand, that all of the rest of Psalm 31 was the wisdom of King Lemuel's mother. So this ideal woman that's portrayed, just as a side note, in Proverbs 31 comes from the mouth of a woman through her son. Are you with me? And this ought to kick in the teeth this lie of modern day feminists that say that Proverbs 31 written by a man is a man's description of what an ideal woman is, when in fact the words come out of the mouth of his mother. He's reciting and recalling and writing down what his mother had taught him. Is that all right? And in verses 1 through 7, we learn of some of that wisdom and counsel that came from obviously a godly mother. Now, kings are not to engage in conduct that is self-destructive. Why? Because God has called humanity to be kings in and to rule with Christ. We are all in Christ kings and priests of our God forever. And those who are not in Christ are potential kings and priests. Are you with me? And it is not for kings. They talk about today how important self-image is. Well, if I see myself and understand myself as a king, then I have to understand I'm not supposed to be destroying myself as a habit of my life. Is that all right? Is that all right, church? Amen. Sexual promiscuity and alcohol abuse are conduct that destroys kings and anyone else who does those things. Is that right? Amen. Verse 4 in particular, Lemuel writes, it is not for kings, or he reports what his mother says to him, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. And this advice, this counsel is given because the king, amen, has some very good reasons to avoid being intoxicated. But this is a good instruction for all humanity because of our sinful nature. Amen. When we drink alcohol, when we get intoxicated, how many know we become different people? Yeah, we do. We become different. See, that's the deception of the alcohol. We think who we are gets enhanced. And we don't realize that how other people sees us is actually diminished. We're not really all that, you know, on top of our game. We actually are slurring our speech. We actually are stumbling a little bit. We actually are looking as foolish as we feel. Amen. That's why, amen, when Pastor Kelly be saying it, amen, I don't care whether y'all think I'm Luther Vandross or not, because I'm not trying to be Luther Vandross. I'm trying to be me expressing my heart to God. And frankly, it doesn't matter what you think about it. What really matters is what God think about it. Amen? But when I was in the world drinking wine and smoking dope and doing all the things I was doing, I sure enough didn't care. Amen? No wonder I was the butt of many jokes, too, coming up in those days. I was in the band. But anyway, it is the best thing for fallen, sinful human beings to abstain from the use of alcohol, wine and hard liquor, amen, because of our sinful natures. What alcohol does is bring out of us the sinful nature that is within us. It brings it out, amen. The beast comes out. I've seen mild-mannered, low-key people start imbibing alcohol, and the next thing you know, you can't shut them up. Come on, somebody. And the things they're saying aren't nice things. You ever seen that too? Verse 5 says, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. For us kings, intoxication will cause us to forget God's law and perfect justice for the afflicted. And then there are some other reasons. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. We'll come back to Proverbs chapter 31 in just a few moments, but let's look back at Proverbs chapter 20 and look at some of the other reasons it's not good for kings or anybody else in our sinful fallen nature to make wine and alcohol abuse a part of our lives. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Did y'all see that? You see, wine impairs judgment and the senses. Amen. They have done studies and have proven and demonstrated that your reflexes are not as sharp when you're impaired by alcohol. We think we're better. We think we're stronger. We think we're faster, but we're actually slower. And we even start acting stupid and doing stupid stuff. And strong drink makes us do the most stupidest of things, like, for instance, be trying to fight everybody. Amen. You ever been to a party or been somewhere where somebody gets drunk and all of a sudden, I'll take you all on? Amen. There's 10 guys standing there, and he's saying he's going to take them all on. Amen. And then they wind up stomping the guy. Amen. He wakes up the next morning, you know, his face contorted in 25 different directions, and he don't even remember what happened. Amen. Solomon's going to address that in just a moment, too. But that's what it means when it says that strong drink is a brawler. It makes you want to fight. It emboldens you. It gives you a sense of false confidence. And whoever is led astray by it is not what? Wise. Amen. It's unwise to drink wine and hard liquor. Amen. Because of the things it leads you into. And not only that, but you can't go and find chapter and verse in the Bible, and this is silly for some people to try to make the argument that because you can't do this, that somehow it must be okay. How many know alcohol and drugs are related? They do essentially the same thing to your body, okay? So that's why it's appropriate for me at this point to say that mind-altering drugs, chemicals, amen. And have you checked out some of the chemicals people are using to get high now? Amen. Meth is made up of some stuff you have underneath your cabinet to clean your bathtub. Come on, somebody. Can that be a good thing? Mind-altering drugs do the same thing as alcohol. Drug use has its roots, by the way, in the rituals of the dark arts. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy. You can lose Proverbs 24 now. And go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let me remind you of what the dark arts are. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and find there verse number 9. Deuteronomy 18 and 9. And in all cultures, anthropologists have found this, no doubt, in all cultures, unless they lie. But it's in all cultures. It's amazing that witchcraft and sorcery and all of the various dark arts have been found in Africa. They've been found in Asia. They've been found in South America. They've been found among the Eskimos. They've been found in Europe, or what are the Druids? Amen. They've been found all over the world. Isn't that interesting that the dark arts are universal on the globe? That must mean they come from the same source. They're called by different names by the different tribes and cultures and people, but it all boils down to the same thing. Witchcraft is witchcraft is witchcraft. And one of the constants that have also been found is that many of these cultures have used drugs, amen, things that they found naturally occurring in the plant life. Marijuana is a naturally occurring plant. Come on, somebody. Peyote and other kinds of drugs are naturally occurring out there. Amen. And it's so interesting that the shamans and the witch doctors, again, in whatever culture you go to, seem to use these what? Mind-altering drugs to what? Enhance their experience of the supernatural, of the spiritual. Amen? And we know that this, from a Christian perspective, that the spiritual here is not God. How many know you don't need to get high to meet God? So whatever spirit is speaking to you saying, go get high so you can really hear what I got to say and so you can talk to me, amen, that is not from God. What must it be then? It must be a demon. And as I read this passage to you, see if you don't see the working of demons involved in what God is not pleased with as he spoke to Israel. He says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the, what? Abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Let me stop there and say that in the New Testament, the Greek word of which we get the word pharmaceutical, the root of it in Greek is the same word that's translated sorcery. Are you with me? So in the practice of these dark arts, sorcery, witchcraft, when they introduce the use of drugs and abuse drugs in order to alter their minds, to get into an altered state, amen, It is a form of what? Sorcery. And in fact, the same group of people, that's the origin of where drug abuse first came from, were those people that practiced the very things that we're talking about right now. Verse 11 says, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Amen. Let me stop there. Many people have called preachers like me who said to parents, you really ought not let your children get involved in the Harry Potter phenomenon because it glorifies what? Witchcraft. Amen. Oh, you're just being conservative. People can have no fun around you. Well, God is saying these kinds of things are an abomination. Am I going to love? Am I going to embrace? Am I going to heap onto my children things that God abhors? No. And so that was the reason in my house that we didn't celebrate Halloween either. Because these things have their origin in the dark arts. Verse 12 says, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Hey, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. If God hates it, why am I going to turn around and love it? And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Now, let's get this straight. This sounds like a Brother Boston line of thinking right here. Let's see if we can work this thing through. If God is driving the nations out from before Israel because they practice those things, what do you think he's going to do to Israel if they start doing those things? And indeed, they did start doing those things. What did God do to them? By 586, they were driven out of the land, weren't they? Come on, somebody. See, you can't change God's mind. God is perfect in his thinking. He is perfect in his instructions. And so thousands of years later from Deuteronomy, what God thought about it then, he still thinks about it when? Now. He hasn't changed. The Lord our God does not change. Indeed, the scripture says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care how Satan repackages it. Amen. It's still sin in his sight. The devil is going after your babies. Come on, somebody, and your grandbabies. And trying to teach them to love what God hates. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So drug abuse and drug use has its origin in the practice of dark arts. And for that very reason, amen, we as Christians need to understand God doesn't want us to use and abuse drugs. Amen? And let me give a disclaimer statement. Does that mean you can't take a Tylenol? No. There are good drugs for good reasons. Amen? But even those, you got to be careful. Come on, somebody. Some people have gone and had operations and they prescribe pain medication. And it's only supposed to be temporary, but they wind up taking it for a long period of time. And what happens to them? They get addicted. So something that's good can become evil if it's used the wrong way. Is that right? We had a cop in Clackamas County that was knocking over pharmacies to get painkillers, who was an otherwise outstanding law enforcement officer. But his career is ruined. His family's destroyed. Everything's gone down the drain because he got addicted to painkillers. Drugs are dangerous. What do you say? Amen. Now, over time, what happens and why you get addicted is that the brain and body become conditioned to actually and get to the point of actually craving alcohol and drugs, and you become a slave. So whereas you may have gone into it voluntarily saying, oh, I can stop whenever I want to, what happens is once you keep using it over time, now your body gets in the act. And now the brain is conditioned to respond a certain way when that sensation comes. And when that sensation doesn't come anymore, it cries out saying, hey, I want that sensation again. And that's the very basis of addiction. I need to tell you today that God can set you free. Come on, somebody. Now, not only do you become a slave and addicted over time when you use and abuse alcohol and drugs, but you become impoverished as well. Anybody know anybody up in here? I bet everybody knows at least one somebody that's lost everything behind drugs and alcohol. Look at Proverbs 23. It's foretold right here in the Bible that that would be the case. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Y'all see that? The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. Amen. And then later on in that same chapter, look at verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine and do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, at last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Amen. Doesn't that sound just like some people you've met and maybe even you've had that experience? Amen. Wake up the next morning with bumps and knots and bruises. Where'd I get that from? Amen. That's because you were stumbling and fumbling in your drunken stupor and ran into stuff. Amen. And so that's the destructive working of habitual alcohol and drug abuse. Does the Bible have something to say about it? Amen. Thank you. Now let's talk about drinking to numb, soothe, and forget. Drinking to numb, soothe, and forget. Go on back to Proverbs 31. And look at verse 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. King Lemuel's mother advises alcohol to be given to numb the pain of the dying and soothe the heart of the bitter. Now, I'm getting ready to shock you when I say this, but hear me carefully. Hear me out before you jump to a conclusion here. This advice that Lemuel's mother gave was actually excellent advice for the physical body. Remember, they didn't have hospitals and doctors and 911 back in those days. So alcohol served as a means to help numb the pain for the dying person. Okay? So for its time, this is one of those rare cases where something is spoken in the Bible that had particular application for its cultural and historical context. Amen? But even now, the truth is they still are doing the same thing. What is morphine if it isn't a narcotic? And act just like alcohol to what? Numb the pain. Does it actually take the pain away? No, it just simply numbs it and puts you in a, you know, you'll be all knocked out. You ain't feeling no pain. Amen. It's the same concept. Give, she said, to the dying alcohol to numb the pain. By the way, Paul told Timothy to use a little wine medicinally. You don't have to turn there, but it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You might want to take a look at it and read it for yourself later on. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. And Paul tells Timothy, no longer drink only water. So what was he drinking before? Only water. Was he a teetotaler then? Yes. He says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine. Did y'all see that? Is he saying go to the store every week and get you some wine? No, he said what? Use a little wine. Why? for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Amen. You see, the water back in Paul's day was like the water in Mexico. It was contaminated. It was polluted. And so the wine helped to ease the gastrointestinal issues that arose from drinking the contaminated water. So Paul wasn't trying to get Timothy high. Paul was trying to use the medicinal value of wine to help Timothy stay healthy. Is that all right? And even then he said, use what? A little wine. I have to emphasize that because I don't want anybody running out of this church today saying, Pastor Kelly said it was okay to get me some wine. I'm going to go get me some wine today. Amen. I did not say that. Amen. What I'm trying to show you and what I want to be very honest about is that nowhere in the Bible is drinking declared to be a sin. It is not a sin. What is? Drunkenness. And what does the Bible try to show us? What we've already learned is that it's not good for us as kings to use it because of the negative things that can come about as a result of using it. And what you're doing is playing Russian roulette with your life and saying, I'll be the exception to the rule. I haven't met very many exceptions to the rule. I've met people all through college talking about that it'll never bother them. And they were lying because it did. It was destroying relationships. It was affecting their schoolwork. It was affecting their lives. But they were so deceived to believe that they were making it okay. Now, so we acknowledge that drinking in and of itself is not a sin, but the stuff that comes out of it as a result of depending on it, as a result of using it regularly, can be detrimental to your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Can I get a witness? Now, the bitter one, Lemuel's mother says, can and should drink so they can what? Forget their poverty and related misery. How many know that that may work in the short term, but long term we got a problem, don't we? Because now you become addicted to it, don't you? Every little trial, every little tribulation, every little problem that you have because you're bitter about your life, amen, you go to start using alcohol, your problems don't get solved. And all the recovering alcoholics and drinkers in the house said together, amen. So again, it's excellent advice for those who are without God in their lives, but we all in this room today have come to understand there is a better way. Come on, somebody. Indeed, medicating yourself over time eventually will destroy you. God doesn't want to destroy you, but God has come to give us life and life that we may have it what? More abundantly. So let's take a look at our last point at God's better way to cope with life in an evil age. God's better way to cope with life in an evil age. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and find the 15th verse. Ephesians 5 and 15. And it says there, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Is God acknowledging that the days are evil? Yes, he is. He already knows all the bad stuff that's going on out there. Why do we always want to rehearse before God and say that the world's a terrible place? We got all these problems. We got all these things. God knows all that already. What he wants you to learn how to do is deal with it and deal with it the right way. You don't drink to forget as a long-term solution. Well, I tried that, been there, done that. It don't work. And you wind up with more problems than what you were trying to forget. Hello, somebody. So here's God's better way. Become a Christian, huh? That's the first thing. And then he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. So God's solution through Paul is to become a Christian, walk carefully. That's what walk circumspectly means. Walk carefully as wise folks in Christ, redeeming the time, serving God's purposes in joy. Amen. To redeem the time means to get it back again. Amen. To use it wisely, to not squander or waste your opportunities in this life, because we understand that this life is really short, isn't it? And God wants you to use every day wisely to serve His purposes in the earth in joy. Amen. How do you do that? Well, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled, meaning continuously be filled. When you first got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And so you only get indwelt by the Holy Spirit one time. But you are filled by the Spirit continuously. Amen. And you have to be intentional. You have to be deliberate to ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Because otherwise you are empty. People are running around looking for things to fill their lives because they're unhappy, they're miserable, they're empty. Amen. Your car won't run if it's empty of gas. Is that right? Amen. So you got to gas up spiritually with the right stuff. What's the right stuff? The Holy Spirit. Alcohol and drugs cannot take the place of the living God. Can I get a witness? Amen. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then He will fill you with not some foreign substance, but He fills you with Himself. The Lord is joy. The Lord is peace. The Lord is love. The Lord is self-control. The Lord is everything that you need in your life. Can I get a witness? And you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. So when you get up in the morning and you have your quiet time, not only are you studying God's word to get to know God a little better, not only are you praying about other people and needs and things that you have physically, but you hopefully are praying for your spiritual need, and that can only be satisfied by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why he says, and do not be drunk with wine. Did you see that? Do not be drunk with wine. This is the same Paul that told Timothy, take a little wine for your often infirmities. So you can see, I told you the truth, that Paul wasn't condemning drinking per se, but what is he condemning? Being drunk. A drunkard is a person who has a dependency on alcohol. Is that all right? And so if you are a drunkard, you are depending on it. And here's the reason that it's sin in the first order. The first order of business as to why it is sin, because it violates the first of the Ten Commandments. Amen. And the first of the Ten Commandments is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods besides me. So if you are depending upon alcohol, is alcohol a god to you? Yes, it is. If you're depending upon marijuana or other drugs, is that a god to you? Yes, it is. Amen. And so God wants us to depend exclusively upon Him. Our dependency upon Him is an absolute indicator of our acknowledgement of Him as God of our life. Because something, the little detail we fail to remember and understand about God, amen, did you understand that G-O-D, God, means ruler? When God says, I am the Lord your God, He is saying, I am your what? Ruler. So if you have any other gods, what are they? They're rulers also. And you can't have 10,000 rulers. Come on, somebody. You'll go crazy trying to obey all those different rulers. So God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God besides me. And then a little bit later on, he talks about, I, the Lord your God, am a what? Jealous God. God doesn't want you to have any other gods because he's jealous over you. He exclusively created you for him. He didn't create you for the God of alcohol. Come on, somebody. He didn't create you for the God of drugs. He didn't create you for the God of this world, Satan's purposes. Satan intends to destroy you. Have you ever heard about, and if you haven't, let me just tell you again how I got into doing drugs and alcohol. It started out innocently enough. My friends were doing it, and they said, hey, you ought to try this. It'll make you feel such and such. It'll make you feel good. And so I did it on the recommendation of my friends. I came in innocent. And it was that. It was all that they said. It was good at first. Then all of a sudden, I started craving it. It wasn't fun anymore. When you start craving something, it's not fun anymore. Why? You run into a little problem. It's called having the money to go get it. Come on, somebody. Because you got to steadily supply it, don't you? Woo, aren't you glad God is free? Come on, somebody. He said, be not drunk on wine, but what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost is only a prayer away. All you've got to do is say, Holy Ghost, fill me. No money required. Amen? Give the Lord a praise if that's all like that. So, instead of depending on alcohol and drugs for your soul, God wants us to depend upon him. And with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we are to speak and sing with gratitude to God in the community of kings. Because again, we are a community of kings as believers. Is that right? And so verse 19 and 20 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Did you know that when we have our worship time, it ought to be akin to a drunken party? Come on, somebody. It ought to be akin to a drunken party. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when I used to get drunk, when I was out there in the world, when I was in the clubs, when I was doing all the things I was doing. Whenever we started drinking, the next thing we want to do is start singing. Come on, somebody. Yeah, and get loud, party. You know, party. Turn this thing out. Amen. And you start getting rowdy and all that kind of stuff going. Amen. You just want to dance and dance and dance. How many know you don't get tired? Amen. When you be full of that alcohol, dancing and carrying on. Amen. And yet, you see how bad I feel at times when I'm asking you to come join me in worship and y'all be looking like you need some serious geritol. Amen. You ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost and excited and joyful like somebody at one of those old drunken sailor parties. Blow the men down, boys. Blow the men down. Down, down, down. Amen. And it ought to be exciting to you. That's why I said it ought to be like a drunken party. Amen. Because we're all drunk on who? The Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. That's why somebody said, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost. What? Party! And that's what we ought to be having in our worship time. Amen? So Paul says, look, I understand what happens to people when they get drunk. So I'm saying, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you do, what are you going to do? You're going to speak to one another in psalms. Come on, somebody. You're going to sing hymns and spiritual songs. You're going to make melody in your heart to the Lord. And you're going to give thanks to the Lord. And you're going to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. I'm glad to have been set free from drugs and alcohol because I certainly was killing me softly. And I hope that anyone that's hearing this tape at some future day will understand that God loves you and God wants to set you free from alcohol, not only because he doesn't want you to go to jail, not only because he doesn't want to destroy yourself, but because in his love for you, he's got something better than drugs and alcohol. He's got himself. Amen. Give the Lord praise in his house.